Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Miami. What is good? Steven Sports Blog here with you on MSO Radio. I'm here alongside Casey Wallach. Casey, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. I hope you had a good holiday weekend.
Oh, yeah, same to you. I hope you all had a good holiday weekend. I know I did. So I'm gonna let you get started today, Casey, because we were talking about this last night. We were talking about, you said there was a player named, I have his last name written down, Dellavedova.
Yes, there is. Some people like to call him fondly in Cleveland, Deli. Matthew Dellavedova, he's basically starting he's a backup for Kyrie Irving right now while he's out and, plays a little bit of point guard position. So, obviously, he's been in the news lately, and there's been three incidents in the playoffs of physical altercations, which have either led to the other player getting ejected or, in the case of Kyle Korver, getting injured. So a lot of people are questioning, is he a dirty player or is he just reckless and annoying or scrappy, et cetera? So just to quickly go over the three incidents. In the Chicago series, Taj Gibson was in a play with Dellavedova, was on the ground, and Dellavedova kind of backwards leg-locked Taj Gibson's leg. Taj Gibson tries to kick his leg to get free. Gibson ends up with the flagrant 2 and ejected from the game, which, seems pretty ridiculous. Then in the Atlanta series, I believe it was game 2, he rolled up on Kyle Korver's ankle, and now Kyle Korver is out for the rest of the playoffs with a high ankle sprain. And then there was the case in game 3 with Al Horford, and he also rolled into Al Horford's knee, and Al admittedly said he made a mistake and kind of tried to come down on him with his elbow towards his head, and Al Horford ended up getting a flagrant 2 and ejected from the game. And the Al Horford ejection had a real big impact on the Hawks on defense because I looked it up, and in the first half with Horford, the Cavs shot only 30% in the paint. And in the second half, when Horford was out after the ejection, the Cavs shot 63% in the paint. And so, the question is, should that really have been an ejection? You can say technically yes, because the attempted hit was above the shoulders, but he really didn't make contact with him. And then there's also the case of now last night in the Golden State and Houston game, Dwight Howard blatantly elbowed Andrew Bogut in the face and only got a flagrant 1, which a lot of people are wondering now, okay, how consistently and inconsistently are we officiating these games, and should the refs officiate differently, knowing it's the playoffs, the conference finals, and, the different implications that removing a player from the game would have. So, and also another note on Dellavedova, he was assessed a technical in the most recent incident with Al Horford, and everybody's wondering, okay, why'd you get a technical? And people are saying because he went towards the knees of Horford. So, it just really didn't justify the flagrant 2 call on Horford. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. So, I think he's more reckless than dirty, but these things keep happening. And, he's always there. So, it's up for debate.
Yeah, that's a lot. Wow, he's caused a lot of trouble. But I don't think, you're saying he's reckless. Yes, he's reckless, but he's not the only one, if you ask me, because I've been watching, it's my first season watching the NBA playoffs, I think. I'm pretty sure it's been my first season actually watching games. There's been a lot of drama, a lot of fights, a lot of injuries, and it all started in Boston. I don't know the guy's name, the guy from the Celtics. I'm going back to the Kevin Love injury when him
Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly Olynyk, okay. Him and Kevin Love got into it a little bit, and basically ripping Kevin's shoulder out of its socket. And now he's out for 4 to 6 months. He will be back for next season because next season is in another, you know, about 5 months. He may be back for the beginning of the season. Hopefully he will. But other than that, there's a lot other going on as far as fights and injuries and everything. All his anger just coming out in the playoffs this season. I've not seen this before. Nothing like this. Like you said, Dwight Howard elbowed that one guy in the face and he got a flavor of one. Anger issues, obviously, right there. And then there's the thing with Al Horford and the one guy from the Cavs. I remember seeing that. Oh, it's like, and then, like, even, not even people are getting injured because of anger. Barrett Curtin's getting injured because of anger. After game, after game two's loss, 198 loss to Golden State Warriors, James Harden was so pissed at himself for turning over the ball to cost him the game, he knocked over a curtain on his way to the locker room. He just, like, basically pushed the curtain and it fell in front of him. These playoffs are getting really crazy, and as of right now, it's looking like Golden State and Cleveland just because of the fact that both teams have 3 wins out of the 4 they need, and no teams come back to win after trailing near games to none like the Hawks and Rockets have. And that's where my next topic goes. We're going to talk a little bit about the Golden State-Houston game. Now, I was a little surprised that the Warriors won game three in such big fashion, 115-80. And then game four, I wasn't so surprised that the Rockets won to stay alive in elimination. Now, the question that I have for you, Casey, game five is tomorrow in Golden State. Do you think the Rockets are going to pull out a win in Oakland?
I also felt that Houston was going to win last night prior to the game because it was just such a must-win. And, I mean, we've seen them, you know, come back. I mean, if you look at the Clippers series, you know, and how badly they wanted it. And so I thought, you know, they really wanted that game four in Houston last night. And, you know, going back to, you know, the Oakland area, the Oracle Arena is a, you know, huge home court advantage. I want to lean towards the Warriors just because I think they are so strong and they did, you know, really try to hang in there last night with when Curry was out and once he came back. And also, you know, with Steph's injury, where you have a head contusion last night. They didn't say he had a concussion. You know, he passed the whatever protocol, et cetera. But, you know, with concussions, sometimes those symptoms, you know, show up on the second, third day, et cetera. And so you kind of want to see where he's at. And so I get I'm on the fence. I think it's going to be a tight game. But that's my opinion, just based on the fact of not knowing if Curry's going to be 100%.
Yeah, I was trending Twitter last night, as I always do, and I saw that people tweeting out, oh my God, Steph Curry, what happened? And I was like, what happened to Steph Curry? And then I see on ESPN, Steph Curry left the game for a short while after hitting his head on the floor. But I did hear that he did come back, so, you know, happy for him for that. So, yeah, there's definitely going to be questioning if he's going to be healthy for tomorrow's Game 5. Me, personally, I think he'll be fine. Because if he came back in Game 4 after such a hard hit, I think he'll be fine coming back in Game 5. You think it's going to be a tight game. I see it tight from quarters 1 to 3. I see the Warriors pulling away and clinching the Western Conference and they're en route to the NBA Finals.
I can go with you on that one.
Okay, so we have 3 minutes before we go to a commercial break, so I'll just talk a little about the Eastern. Now, we know that the Rockets have to stay alive at home. The Hawks, it's a different story. The Hawks have to stay alive on the road. Casey, how likely is this going to happen? How likely is it that the Hawks are going to steal Game 4 tonight in Cleveland?
I was so impressed with the Hawks the other night. just because of how well they stayed in with Cleveland. That was the Hawks team I was, you know, waiting to see, like, in this entire playoff run. And even without, you know, having Horford there for defense and everything, and, you know, Damari Carroll, you know, he doesn't look, you know, that great. You know, obviously he's still a little hobbled, but, I mean, if they can play like they did in Cleveland the other night, there's a great chance that they could steal that game. But, you know, you just got to wonder, you know, can you keep going on that momentum and can you sustain, you know, that type of play? Because, I mean, that was a, you know, physical game, you know, taxing, et cetera. So I would like to see him steal it from Cleveland just because, you know, they fought so hard in game three. So I would probably say, I think I'm going with my head, I'm thinking that Cleveland might pull it out by a few points.
All right. So yeah, definitely a big effort by LeBron himself. I think he had like 37 points. He had basically had a triple-double, and they only won by three in an overtime game. So you know the Hawks are going to be looking out to stop LeBron tonight in game four as the Cavs look to reach their first NBA Finals since 2007 when LeBron and the Cavs got swept by the Spurs. LeBron's looking for his fifth straight NBA Finals appearance. So game four tonight in Cleveland, I think it's like 8:30 tonight on TNT. We're going to go to a commercial break right now. When we come back, we got a good debate for you guys. You're listening to Steel Sports Talk here on MSL Radio.
So at the end of the day, I mean, you could keep that to yourself. You don't even have to let anybody know because at the end of the day, you know, if somebody's coming out, you're getting all the attention. I'm not saying that's what Michael Sam's intentions were, but there's always another side to the story. At the end of the day,
Jesus Christ.
The Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson is 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time here only on MSL Radio Monday through Friday. Check it out. I know I messed up, but whatever. Listen to the show. Ah. Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help wanting to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Want to learn how to scan your swagger? Get insight on that and more from Dia Hicks every weekend, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on MSL Radio.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Inside the Sports World with Darren Williamson, Stephen Ur, and Andrew Powell is every Saturday between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Only on Double G Radio. Start spreading the
news. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSLblog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
What's good, Miami? And I guess pretty soon I'll have to say what's good, nation, since we're going national. This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson, the CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer, and if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle.
You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
That's right, Miami. We're back here, Stephen Sports Blog on MSL Radio. So since Casey took over in the beginning of the show, I'm going to take over here after the commercial break. And then by doing that, I'm going to take over with a little baseball talk because a lot of teams not doing so well in baseball. One of those teams being your Miami Marlins, Miami. You know it. You know who knows it? The players know it, too. You know how the players know it? Because apparently there was something that went on last week where the players, like, skipped some event. I don't know the full details, but I do know that these players are frustrated as hell with their season, with the way everything's going. And I am, too. I'm not an Marlins fan. I'm a fan of the team I'm going to get up to next. But the Marlins, they were supposed to be the second-best team in the NL East. This season. They're supposed to be the second-best team in the NL East this season, and they're not. They're the worst. I think they're like 18-27 record, but it wasn't supposed to be that way. They acquired Ichiro Suzuki from the Yankees. They acquired D. Gordon from the Dodgers, both the winning teams last season. They had Henderson Alvarez. They have Matt Latos. They have all these guys, et cetera, so on and so forth. They have all these guys. Yeah, well, because of injuries and because of terrible pitching, the Marlins are at the bottom of the NL East. And this is not how I wanted it to happen. Not at all. I'm disappointed. I was disappointed earlier when the Nationals were last, but the Nationals have gotten their you-know-what together. They're in first place now. Hopefully the Marlins can do that with their power hitter and Walker Stanton. Walker Stanton is the team right now. He has proven why this team signed him to the 10-year, $325 million contract. And he keep it up, Juan Carlos, what can I say? The other team that I'm talking about, that I said we'll get to in a second, we'll get into right now, the New York Yankees. The Yankees, they lost before like yesterday's game against the Kansas City Royals. The Yankees have lost 10 of 11 games. Now, you Yankee fans know, me included, we expected this had come because DJ retired, A-Rod's coming back, and he may not have been – he's good at the bat, but is he good at the field? Not too much. Mark Teixeira's injury-prone. You know, there's so much going on with the Yankees. You knew they were going to slide. Yesterday, I didn't watch the game, unfortunately. I was at a barbecue. Pulled off a great win yesterday against the top team in the AL East. Against the top team in the American League, the Kansas City Royals, the Yankees beat the Royals yesterday 14-1. I just got a text from my radio director, Darren Williamson. He says, "Let's go Mets." I haven't paid much attention to the Mets. I don't know, Casey. Have you been paying attention to the Mets?
No.
Casey Wallach lives in Wisconsin, so maybe she knows a little bit about the Milwaukee Brewers. Do you?
Not too much, just because, you know, the season's been, you know, fairly disappointing. Obviously, you know, there is, you know, the big news about Will Smith, the pitcher, being suspended for 8 games because of having sunscreen and rosin on his arm, and it was blatantly obvious. I mean, but, you know, it's one of those things. So, you know, Ryan Braun's doing all right, but, I mean, we could be doing better. I mean, there's not much to write home about with the Brewers right now, I guess. Yeah,
I've been watching the Brewers, you know, past few seasons, and it's always been the same thing. Disappointing season. Yesterday, another disappointing game, defending world champions, San Francisco Giants, and Milwaukee. They had the 4-1 lead going into, like, I think it was the sixth inning. When you have a 4-1 lead going into the sixth inning, you pretty much win the game. Not so much for the Brewers last night. They let the Giants, yeah, they actually did score like 7 runs in the sixth inning. They won the game 8-4. Poor Brewers. But anyway, Darren's giving me another text. Brian Braun is rumored to come to the Mets. Now we'll see what happens with that. I haven't heard anything, and I'm not going to talk about it.
So now we have about
9 minutes left. Casey and I were talking about this last night because we're both big football fans. We were talking about Dynasty Week last week on NFL Network. NFL Network had their Dynasty Week. They had 4 teams during the week showing Super Bowl highlights and all this other good stuff. They had San Francisco 49ers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, and my Dallas Cowboys. Now, we argued about this last night over the phone. We were saying, who is the best dynasty of those four? Casey says the Packers. Me? I say the Steelers. But I'm gonna let her go first. Casey, you said the Packers. Why is that?
Well, the Packers won 3 NFL titles in the 60s and then the 2 Super Bowls, the first 2 Super Bowls. And that's the most by any – that's the most number of championships by any team. And so that's one thing. I mean, you know, that's, you know, kind of like the obvious thing. They're the only team that's won 5 championships. Then the next thing would be their – actual record in the playoffs, which is by far the best. And it's just the winning percentage. The Packers went 9-1 in the 1960s, which is 90%. And the 1970 Steelers went 14-4, which is a record of .778. So there's that. And then there's just, I don't know, it's just, I think of Dynasty also as, you know, just a, like the legacy and the notoriety that, you know, a team brings. And, you know, the Packers were just tough, and but people loved them still. And, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different things. I mean, we can get into some more, but I'd like to hear your side of it.
Okay. Well, I definitely agree that the Packers, definitely a good team, especially because they won the first 2 Super Bowls, 1967, 1968. But the Packers didn't do what the Steelers did in the 70s, and that is win 4 Super Bowls in 5 years, I think, right? So 10, 11, missed 12, and then 13, 14. Yeah, 4 in 5 years. No other team has done that yet. But, you know, the NFL is going to be around for a long time, so it could happen again. And, Mike, I think of the 60s Packers being the greatest dynasty of all time. I just think, but who do they have? The only person I can think of is they had their quarterback Bart Starr. Other than that, I'm drawing a blank. You know, when you think of the 1970 Steelers, the 70s Steelers, I should say, you think of everybody. Joe Green, Jack Ham, Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swan, you know, all these players that made the Steelers, in my opinion, the greatest dynasty of all time. So, yeah, I want you guys. Hit me up at Ryan Fanatic 2. Hit Casey up at Casey Wallach, WALLOCH, and hit up the network at 305 Sports and Life. Out of the Niners, the Steelers, the Packers, and the Cowboys, who is your favorite dynasty of all time out of those four? Again, Ryan Fanatic 2 at Casey Wallach and at 305 Sports and Life. Another thing that Casey brought up last night, and I like this idea, so we're going to go with it right now.
She calls it. I last 2 cents. Again, this is going to be another segment. We each got 1 minute to discuss anything we want. And,
yeah, basically that's what it is. Our last 2 cents. Casey, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first for the first segment of our last 2 cents?
I'll let you go first.
All right. Okay, I'm going to go first. I was watching The Herd this morning with Colin Cowherd, I should say. almost mixed up his last name. He said if the Kevin Love returns to the Cavs next season, they're going 68-14. I was like, what? And then his producer even told him, are you nuts? You know how many teams have won at least 68 games? Two. Both teams are the Jordan Bulls, 96 and I don't know the other year. 96, they finished 72-10. That's not happening, obviously. And the Cavs are not finishing 68-14. Keep dreaming, Colin Cowherd. Sorry, not sorry. It's not happening. There's been a debate going on. Should kids be allowed press conferences? This debate comes after Steph Curry's child. His daughter Riley was at the press conference with him after their game. I think it was their game two win. And she told him, be quiet. I don't care. Like, let kids be there. If you're a parent, you know how special your child is. So why would you keep your child away from any events that you're going in your life? That they wouldn't want that they wouldn't want you away from any events in their life. So let the kid be at the media press conferences. Mike, this morning at ESPN Radio, Mike and Mike at ESPN Radio. At the end of the show, he was crossing his arms. I was like, look, he was like freezing cold or something. Mike Golic, I feel your pain. I'm always cold. Even being a boy from Orlando, Florida, I'm always cold. I hate it. That's why I love the summer. Heat fans, for the last freaking time, shut up about LeBron James. He is not in Miami anymore. He is gone. You hear me? Gone. Gone. Done. That's it. He's gone. He's moved on. It's time for you guys to move on too, because you got other players. You got D-Wade. He's still there. You have Whiteside. Have Dragic. Get over LeBron already. Jesus Christ. That's the Missouri in baseball. The Kansas City Royals and the St. Louis Cardinals, both in Missouri, have the best records in their respective leagues. The Royals have the best record in the AL. The Cardinals have the best record in the NL. The Houston Texans have canceled their first organized team activity for today because of a massive flooding. I do hope that everybody in Houston stays safe during this flood. If you love classic football, if you love NFL history like I do, you want to tune into NFL Network right now, especially a good time right now. Super Bowl 47, NFL Replay, the Niners and the Ravens in New Orleans, Louisiana, from February 3rd, 2013. Right now, they're showing the stadium power outage. Oh, that was a fun time. 32-minute delay before the game went back on. Right now, the Ravens lead the Niners 28-6, but that's not how the game ends. You want to, again, check it out, NFL Network right now. Casey, it's your turn.
All right. Quickly, because I know we only got a few minutes left. I was also going to talk a little bit about the kids at the press conferences. Riley Curry, after game one, was her dad, Steph. Brian Windhorst is basically who led the complaint. And someone made a joke on Twitter that Wendy was so salty because he realizes that he's never going to be sitting on top of LeBron James' lap anytime soon. Because you know how Wendy is so embedded in the LeBron James camp. A couple other things. You know, if you want real interviews with players, you know, most people say you really need to go in the locker rooms. When these post-game press conferences are on, they usually have just like a stat sheet in front of them. I mean, you know, you always see the guys just looking down at the table, just reading, you know, basically canned quotes. And, you know, I think the kids being there is entertaining. Derrick Rose's kid, most famously known as being the best little meme mugger I've ever seen. I mean, there's tons of memes made out of him and everything. I mean, that kid, I mean, I just crack up when I see that kid. And then there's Chris Paul's kid doing Blake face and all that funny stuff. So, I think it's all in good fun. If I had a dad who was a professional athlete and he didn't bring me to one of those press conferences and I found out later, I would be pretty upset. So I think it's something that they need to share, you know, as a family, and just really enjoy the moment and stop being so uptight, you know, with the media should stop being so uptight, I should say. So that's my 2 cents of the day.
All right. Remember, check out the Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson. Last night was a good show. They had Kevin Gonzalez from the KG and Figgy Show. They had Brandon Bivens, had Pedro Armas, and Roberto Reynolds all covering for the guys last night. It was a good show. You want to go check that out. BlogTalkRadio.com/Miami Sports and Life Radio. And tonight, remember, Andrew Powell Show, 8 to 10 p.m., and also the KG and Figgy Show tonight at 11 here on MSL Radio. So, again, Super Bowl 47. You're going to want to check this out. They're going to resume play right now. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Casey for being my co-host once again. And me and her will be back tomorrow for more great sports talk. Until then, guys.
You have been listening to Stephen Sports Blog with Stephen Urban III, here only on MSL Radio.